You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Very happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline. And by the way, Ohio Business Machines is the preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, and they know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Today we're going to the OBM hotline and bringing in Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, thanks for being with us.
Nathan, Matt, how are you guys doing?
We're doing very,
living
very
the dream,
well.
Bro.
Yes, living the Good. Dream. How was your weekend? At least no Browns on Sunday. Did you get to enjoy that?
I watched a little bit of football. Unfortunately, my dad took a fall last week and broke his hip. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. So we were able to get him out of the hospital. He had a nice stay over at St. John West Shore in Westlake, and we got him in a rehab facility. So I spent yesterday watching the Steelers and the Raiders and some other games with my dad. So it was all good.
All right. As you get ready for the Steelers, we'll start with the big question today. Number one, who starts for you at quarterback?
For the Steelers or for the Browns?
Steelers, it'll be Landry Jones, which is good for the Browns. Gotcha. But for the Browns, yes.
I got you. Boy, isn't that the $64,000 question today? You know, I guess, Nathan, after what I saw on Thursday night, and I don't think I would have said this a week ago, I think it's time to give Johnny Manziel another start. Obviously, a lot of this is going to be predicated on Josh McCown's ribs, and I think for Josh's sake, it'd probably be nice to give him another week off to get those things as close to 100% as possible, and then you get the bye week the week after that. But I was, obviously, I was pretty intrigued with what I saw, and I think you guys probably were as well in the first half out of Manziel. As we've talked about ad nauseum, we'd still like to see him stand in the pocket and make those throws. But I thought there were enough good things there to warrant a different look.
Tom, through 9 weeks of the season, I think it's safe to say that, Duke Johnson, the third-round draft pick out of the University of Miami, is pretty special, especially when he gets the ball in his hands. And I ask you this question, that would be my guy, that would be the focal point of this offense. So through 9 weeks of the season and moving forward, who do you believe or wish to be the focal point of this offense, that whether it's Johnny Manziel or Josh McCown, is a guy that can be relied on to be productive offensively, whether on the ground or in the air?
That's a great question, Matt. I mean, let's look at what McCown has done for the first part of the season. I mean, what has he not done for this team? I mean, the guy's gone out there, he's played at a consistently high level. Sure, he's had a couple bad passes here and there. Sure, was there a bad game mixed in here and there? But, when this organization talks about the play like a Brown mantra and how that should be the motto, and that's what they, want their players to shoot for, who's shown that more than Josh McCown to this point?
Agreed.
So, you bring up Duke Johnson, which to me has just been, that disappearing act that's happened in the second half of the last 2 weeks is just beyond puzzling to me for a team that's been, fairly devoid of playmakers for a lot of reasons, whether it be free agents who have not worked out, the injury situation, which has obviously, sabotaged a lot of the game plan and what this coaching staff has been able to do. But, I don't know why they haven't used him more. And that's what we heard from DeFilippo heading into the season, was that this Duke Johnson kid is a mismatch nightmare. And he's shown that in the limited touches that he's got. And I was happy to see on Thursday night that it looked to me like Crowell was about as healthy as he's been all season, at least in the first half. He really seemed to have the ability to kind of plant that foot and go forward. And I thought that was a good thing. But, Gary Barnage has been the best player on this offense, and none of us saw that coming in the offseason. So in terms of the focal point, Matt, I'm not sure where to go with that. I mean, obviously it's going to hinge on who that quarterback is. And as I said earlier, I think I've seen enough now that I'd like to see what this offense could be with Johnny Manziel running it.
Talking with Tom Withers from the Associated Press. He's our guest at this time. Tom, you talked about Duke Johnson disappearing in the second half. I'd argue that the entire football team has disappeared in the second half, three straight games, 55-3. They've been outscored. What is going on there, and what can be done about it?
That's a great point, Nathan. We all seem to focus on the quarterback, don't we, whether it's on a Monday or a Thursday or a Sunday. And this defense has just been, underachieving at an alarming rate this year. I don't know what to put my finger on in terms of the second half. A lot of people have pointed to there being a lack of adjustments. I think that was pretty clear on Thursday night when basically Marvin Lewis came out at halftime and said, hey, we've got to contain that quarterback and keep him in the pocket. The Bengals went out and did it, and you saw what happened. So, yeah, it's been disturbing, and I think that's a bad sign for Mike Pettine and this coaching staff in that those adjustments don't seem to be getting made. Now, in fairness to them, know, they've been working with a short stack too, with, you know, with injuries, with having Joe Hayden out again, with having Gibson out again, with having, you know, all kinds of injuries on both sides of the balls. That hasn't helped matters. But yeah, that is something that's got to be cleaned up. If they're gonna point to some things they need to fix in the second half of this season, the second half is a big one.
Tom, you said you couldn't quite put your finger on why, you know, they've been outscored the way they have in the second mm-hmm. half. But as you look at this defense as a whole, have you been able to kind of decipher and what put your finger on, or I guess you could say point blame at what you feel besides those injuries has really led to a subpar season, not just in your ability to stop the run, which you're still 32nd in the league, but overall just not be able to make the plays and actually just be good or average for this football team while you're playing very well offensively on the other side of the ball?
I think you just hit it, Matt. It's make plays. It's playmakers to me on both sides of the ball. It's having that impactful guy. I mean, I think we've seen, you know, a few signs here of Danny Shelton, but I want to see Danny Shelton blow some people up and make tackles behind the line of scrimmage. You know, I want to see these linebackers, somebody to be able to come off the edge and maybe get a strip sack. Somebody tip the ball over the middle and get an interception. And those kinds of plays have just been, to me, too few and far in between. You know, you watch the good teams on Sundays, and what's happening on both sides of the balls? You're having guys step up and make plays in the biggest moments of the game, and the Browns just haven't had that to this point.
Right, and don't you think, Tom, and this is kind of my stance, and although 2-7 is not nearly good enough to what this fan base deserves, but
right.
a lot of the frustration lies with, if you dig down to the personnel and you look at other teams and watch other football teams, their young playmakers or their highly paid playmakers are the guys that rise to the occasion week in, week out, and make that big play when their team needs it, which ultimately leads to a victory. And that seems to be something that has deviated the Cleveland Browns as a whole.
I totally agree. You know, let's look at the Steelers-Raiders game yesterday for one example. Antonio Brown had a game where he put up numbers in one game that I think a lot of wide receivers would like to be able to put up in a half a season, or if not a full season. I mean, the guy just, when the Steelers needed him, they turned to him, he delivered. Same thing for the Raiders. I mean, you look at Derek Carr. When the Raiders needed him to make a big play yesterday, he did it. You got guys like Amari Cooper out there, Michael Crabtree making plays. So, yeah, that's something that the Browns, and hey, listen, that's now you're starting to get into a talent evaluation discussion as well. So, I mean, does this roster have those kinds of players on it right now? I don't think any of us knows at this point.
Tom, when we were talking earlier, one of the other hot topics we had today was if you're Mike Pettine, you've taken this whole weekend off, you've given the players all this time off, mm-hmm. despite the way the season's going. When you come back in, what is the message to this team?
You know, it's got to be what you touched on before, and that's to finish. I mean, whether it's finishing a play or finishing a quarter or finishing a half or finishing a game and now finishing a season. I mean, you know, there's still a lot to be played for here. And we got to remember, too, at the end of the day, these guys are paid professionals, and they've got to show, whether it's they're going to show this coaching staff or other ones, that they belong in the NFL. So I think, to me, that would be message number one when we gather tomorrow, is that we gave you guys the weekend off to think about things. You know, we expect you to be recommitted and rededicated, and let's see what you got, because you've got now, you know, 7 games to show us what it is, who you are, and what it is you want to do.
Tom, as you mentioned, and something I made, you know, to Nathan's point when we posed that question early in the show, I mentioned it's a lot has to do with the coaches and their mentality coming back and that message that we just talked about and what we would convey to this team. But otherwise, I think it's got to rely on the leaders. You know, you look at Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, you look at Randy Starks, Dansby, Whitner, all these guys, you know, are either were signed this year or last year on a 2 or 3 year deal. You look at Andrew Hawkins, all those guys have a fairly large number coming back next year for their third or second year of the contract. And I think these next 7 weeks, if I were Ray Farmer, I'd evaluate the mentality that they bring into that locker room and the professionals that they, I guess, execute as moving forward, both on and off the field.
Yeah, you're also talking about a team, though, that reportedly put its best player on the trading block last week, too. So, you know, you wonder what kind of messages are going through that locker room right now as well. So I'm with you. And, you know, people have said to me, hey, who are the leaders on this team? And I can point to the same guys that you just rattled off, Matt. I think all of those guys are consummate professionals. I think they're all dedicated to their craft. I think they work hard at trying to get better. But that's what it takes in the second half of a season, doesn't it, when it isn't going well, is that you got to be able to turn to those guys. So you know, that's why, you know, part of me, when I look at the potential for Manziel to come in and take over this team, can he take over that team, not only on the field, but can he take that team over in the locker room? And I'm not so sure, you know, while all the strides that Johnny has made this year, and I think they're pretty evident when he goes out on the field, I just don't know how that resonates in the locker room in terms of his leadership ability. So I'm with you, Matt. I think that's who you got to turn to at this time. You know, unfortunately, we've gotten to this conversation at about the 9 or 10 week mark over the last, it seems like, dozen years, doesn't it? So
it does.
And in the past, we have seen Browns teams finish strong because they have shown some resiliency. And, you know, this 2-7 record to me may not be as accurate maybe as it shows on paper. I mean, I think this team has shown some fight. I think there's been some resiliency. You know, I'm still bothered by, you know, the penalties. I mean, last week for them to come out in the second half, you know, they have the bad return to start the second half. Then you start with a false start right out of the gate. That just wasn't good. And those are the kind of things that would really irk me as a coach, that those kinds of mistakes are continuing to go on even in week 10.
Let me ask you this, Tom. It's something else that we've been talking about, and it was organizationally speaking. You know, first of all, do you think that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer are on the hot seat?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think everybody is always on the hot seat. It's just that, you know, it's the varying temperatures of whether it's on nuclear or on warm. So, it's a bottom line business. It's a, you know, are you successful or are you not successful? And if you're not getting the job done, well, you know, you will be shown the door. I don't think that's any different this season than any other we've had here. So, you know, I think the interesting thing is that of the decisions, the big decisions they're going to have to make in the near future, how many of those are going to affect what their futures are? And, you know, I'm not in that building. I'm not privy to the kind of conversations that Ray and Mike might be having with Jimmy Haslam at this point. But those are the discussions to me that I would be having as a coaching staff that, you know, if I'm going to make this change at quarterback, how is that going to impact my job and my future? So, we're at a real crossroads, guys. I think, you know, we kind of unfortunately saw this coming over the last couple of weeks. And now we're at that juncture in the season where these hard decisions and these evaluations are going to take place.
Certainly is. And Matt and I were talking earlier, and we think almost the process that needs to be in place, and an identity for this organization, the way that they're going to conduct themselves as a football organization,
right,
needs to be in place and have a clear message that comes from Jimmy Haslam. And that is probably more important than the actual people that are executing that process.
Yeah. And you know, the problem too, though, Nathan, and I agree with you 100%, this is Steelers week, right? Shouldn't they be worrying about game planning and maybe trying to get some pressure on Landry Jones? And what do they need to do to stop D'Angelo Williams? And how can they protect Johnny or Josh better? Instead, we're talking about organizational philosophy. And that's what this franchise has to get beyond. They've got to get down to where, you know, everybody's got their chin strap buckled and they're talking about football and nothing but football. And we're just not there.
We certainly are not there. Tom, appreciate the time. And you make an excellent point right there. And I think if we were, you know, 4-5, 5-4, that's all we would be talking about.
That's exactly right.
It's a product of where this team and this organization is and has been for far too long. Tom Withers from the Associated Press, our great guest. Tom, look forward to speaking with you throughout the week as the Browns do get ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey, nice talking to you guys.
You too, buddy.
All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.